Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with an article from AARP, the magazine, that we've been looking at for a couple of times, and we're about to finish it up here. So this is top programs that have changed our lives. The show that redefined good versus bad was The Sopranos. There used to be good guys and bad guys, but The Sopranos, 1997 to 2007, made us root for Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, a mob boss who kills both the innocent and those who are guilty as sin. He's a family man who can't trust his murderous mother and whose wife, Edie Falco, averts her eyes from the sources of their comfy life. The show succeeded by breaking longtime TV rules with startling violence, cynical comedy, morally ambiguous characters, and plots and subplots that stretched out across several episodes. Among other influences, the show started a stampede of anti-heroes on other series, including Breaking Bad and Succession. And we were looking at dates in history, and the one we have left there is September 11th, 2001, collapse of the Twin Towers. A horrified nation watched and grew furious. And then the final article in this group, top Emmy winners, test your knowledge. We've spent much of our lives watching television. As the Emmy Awards marked its 75th show this September, see how much of that viewing time has stuck with you. So this is a quiz, but I will give you the answers. One, it survived the early departure of its top star and has won 87 primetime Emmys. Gunsmoke, MASH, Saturday Night Live, or The West Wing? Saturday Night Live. So much violence, so many Emmys, 59. The Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Breaking Bad, Deadwood. Game of Thrones. Apparently banter, that's witty enough to will land you 37 Emmys. I Love Lucy, 30 Rock, Cheers, or Frasier? Frasier. After starting as a small part of another show, this spinoff series went on to win 35 Emmys. The Simpsons, 60 Minutes, Sesame Street, ER. The Simpsons. This show, with 29 Emmys, had to change its premise before the pilot was shot because its execs were nervous about breaking social taboos. The Wire, The Mary Tyler Moore Show, South Park, Will and Grace. The Mary Tyler Moore Show. A show that got fewer Emmys, only 28, than a series it spun off, it could drive you to drink. Cheers, Happy Days, All in the Family, Breaking Bad. Cheers. Four shows have won 26 Emmys, but only this one is a reality show. Project One Ray, RuPaul's Drag Race, Survivor, Top Chef. It was RuPaul's Drag Race. And finally, this is the only news show in the Emmy Top 10. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, 60 Minutes, The Today Show, Meet the Press, or Nightline. It was Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. Now we're going to look at some articles from AARP, The Bulletin. Let's look at Fraud Watch. Get back what's yours. Recovering what you lost to scammers is a long shot, but that's starting to change. Cy Smith, 53, a financial analyst from San Francisco, lost $1.2 million in a fast-moving cryptocurrency investment scam in 2021. It was a living nightmare, he says. My life savings, my daughter's education fund. It was all gone in 5 weeks. But in January, Smith, we changed his name at his request, wept tears of joy in a California courtroom when a judge ordered the return of $110,000 of the stolen money. I was the lucky one, Smith acknowledges. Getting money back from criminals is rare, but new efforts by law enforcement officials, banks, payment apps, and gift card companies are clawing back some funds lost in a wide variety of scams. Smith recovered money thanks to Santa Clara County Deputy District Attorney Aaron West's crusade to track, freeze, and seize stolen cybercurrency as it flows to overseas criminal gangs through online trading exchanges. All of this makes reporting fraud, something that nearly half of those targeted fail to do, more important than ever. The best thing you can do for yourself and future victims is to report as soon as possible. West says, your information could launch or further an investigation, trigger warnings to protect others, or even help you recover money. Here's the latest on efforts to recover scammed money. Cryptocurrency. Since last December, West's team has seized more than $2.5 million for California victims of cryptocurrency investment scams in which victims were lured into investing over and over again. The Crypto Coalition, a nationwide law enforcement network started by West in the fall of 2022, has more than 1,000 members in 40 states who are deploying the same investigative techniques and laws to recover funds. Reporting tip. Report crypto scams to the FBI's Internet Crime Complaint Center, ic3.gov, and to your local police department. Peer-to-peer apps. Starting June 30th, the more than 2,000 U.S. banks that provide customers with Zelle, the nation's largest dollar volume peer-to-peer, payment service, have been investigating and recovering money lost to scammers. This is a massive change, says Ben Chance, Chief Fraud Risk Management Officer for Early Warning Services, the network owner and operator for Zelle. Previously, scam victims could recover money lost in unauthorized Zelle transactions only when a criminal took over an account. This rule change even covers transactions authorized by users. If you have fallen for a certain type of imposter scam, Chance says, the scammer has to be impersonating a government agency like the IRS or Social Security Administration, a financial institution like a bank, or a service provider like a utility company. Last fall, Congress opened an investigation into Zelle's fraud recovery policies, saying scammers used the service to steal $441 million from users in 2021. A reporting tip. If you paid scammers by using Zelle, you can report it to the bank or credit union where you have your account, up to 120 days after the incident. But sooner is better for bank investigators. The nation's two other largest P2P apps, Venmo and Cash App, recommend users contact customer service if they've been scammed, but they say most of the time, payments to scammers cannot be canceled. And then there's gift cards. Gift card companies may be able to recover some or all of the money spent to scammers via gift card numbers if you act quickly, says Martha Weaver, spokesperson for the Retail Gift Card Association. With a receipt and swift reporting, funds or partial funds can be recouped, she says. The sooner you take action, the more likely you are to minimize the damage and protect yourself from further financial harm. A reporting tip? There should be a 1-800 number or a 1-800 number on the back of the card. Call that number, Weaver says. Some gift cards issuers may have specific procedures for handling fraud claims. Follow their instructions. If there is not a toll-free number on the card, go to the website and contact customer service. The author of this piece is Sherry Harar, who writes frequently for The Bulletin and AARP, the magazine, on the topics of health, finance, and fraud. And then there's a sidebar here. Don't fall for the recovery scam. Asset recovery scammers hit you when you're down, using sucker lists of recent victims that fraudsters buy and sell among themselves. The crooks pose as consumer advocates or government agents, and they promise they'll get your lost money back. The con. Recovery scammers describe the ruse that's already cost you money, then offer to recover the funds for a fee up front. Some ask for bank account or credit card information. Others send a check for too much money and ask you to return the extra amount. By the time you learn the check is fake, your money is gone. In one Florida case, recovery scammers going by the name Consumer Collection Advocates bilked older people out of $2.8 million. How to steer clear? Don't trust offers to recover scammed money for a fee or any that require financial information, and never pay in advance to get a refund, the Federal Trade Commission advises. Now we have an article under the heading of Your Life, A Watchful Eye and a Willing Ear. Not all aging loved ones need medical help. Enter the Care Companion. After my father died 11 years ago, my mother became fiercely independent. Her social calendar was full, book club, choir practice, and film group meetings. And her memory remained sharp for years. She could recall incidents from my childhood that I had long forgotten. Dementia changed all that. 3 years ago, my mother, Joanna, started to get into car accidents. Not severe, but concerning. One night, she forgot how to get home. I noticed her struggling to recall the names of friends and relatives. She often couldn't remember where the utensils were kept in her kitchen. My family and I knew she needed help, but we didn't want to move her from her home in the Michigan neighborhood she adored. And she was in relatively good physical health. She didn't need a home health aide. She needed someone who could just spend time with her. Such an arrangement is called companion care, a solution for people in my mother's situation. They need some supervision, but not medical care, as well as help with tasks such as cooking and transportation, but not feeding or dressing. And they crave companionship. We've got loved ones who are sitting alone and not having conversations and not really staying as much engaged in life or feeling as relevant, said Sherry Snelling, a gerontologist and spokesperson for Comfort Keepers, an in-home care agency. Finding someone to do this work often requires going through different channels from those to find home health aides. The need is great, but I don't think we have great models for finding companionship care because it does not fit into our traditional home care models or home health models, says Christina Irving, Client Services Director with the Family Caregiver Alliance. She suggests reaching out to senior and community centers, nursing schools, or students in psychology or social work programs at local colleges. A geriatric care manager can also help. Locate one in your area at aginglifecare.org. Also, helping to fill this void are online registries that connect families with various types of in-home workers, also including child care providers, pet sitters, and house cleaners. They include care.com, Comfort Keepers, and CareLinx, L-I-N-X. One benefit is that they screen workers, but with some agencies, rates may be higher because the service will take a cut. I found one care companion through Nextdoor, the popular neighborhood network app. She was a kind, compassionate widow who was eager to spend a few hours a week helping my mom. Initially skeptical, my mother was quickly won over and enjoyed being taken on errands, such as grocery shopping, that she used to handle herself. Later, we hired a second care companion, and my mother had a similar positive reaction. She's my new best friend. And this article was written by Julie Halpert, who has written about aging for the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times. Now, the sidebar article with this one is companion care tips. Provide explicit details in solicitations. Are you looking for companionship in addition to support with errands or housework? A fitness partner. Be sure to include any specifics or goals, says Katie Kobe, head of community for Nextdoor. Then vet the candidates. If hiring through a service, make sure a background check has been conducted. If hiring directly, verify the candidate's employment record and check references. Ask for driving records, which candidates should be able to get through the State Department of Motor Vehicles. Obtaining a complete criminal record would likely require hiring a company that specializes in background checks. Check your insurance. Although companion care is not covered by traditional Medicare or many private insurers, there are exceptions. Francesca Rinaldo, Senior Vice President of Clinical Product and Innovation at ShareCare, CareLinx's parent company, and that's CareLinx, says to ask your insurer about a home care benefit. Some Medicare Advantage plans also will cover such services, she says. Jill McNamara, Care.com's senior director, says that long-term care insurance can be tapped in some cases. Now we have a Q&A by Sheila Johnson. Failure is okay. That's how you learn, no matter what age. Sheila Johnson, 74, Black Entertainment Television co-founder and CEO of Salamander Hotels and Resorts, reflects on life's third act. You are described by Forbes as one of America's richest women. What does that feel like? I hate to be defined by money. First of all, it's more about the journey I've been able to go on and coming out well at the end. What would you say to young people about finding success? There is no way in the world that you can move forward without knowing who you are. As I got to know myself better, I was able to go on another path, but keep the foundation of my arts career. Now I'm in Act 3 of my life as a 70-plus-year-old woman. And this is the best part of my life, because not only do I really know who I am, I have a vision of my future. In your new memoir, Walk Through Fire, you talk about those acts as a musician, then working with your now ex-husband to establish BET, then a painful divorce and reemerging in the luxury hotel business. That's quite a journey. The first act of my life is the concert violinist. I became a first chair violinist of the Illinois All-State Orchestra. I enjoyed doing it. I knew that was what was defining me at the time. And as other doors have opened, and as I have gotten to know myself better, I was able to walk through those doors. Then the second act was co-founding BET with your then-husband Robert L. Johnson. With Black Entertainment Television, I wanted to make sure that we had the best programming out there. I thought the video market and the way it was portraying women was horrific. I didn't want young women to think they had to behave like that in these videos for men. I fought that. That was one of the fires I went through. You write unsparingly about that marriage. There were other women involved. It was severe betrayal. Once I got out of the marriage, I said, you know what? I'm going to prove to the world that I can move forward and I can build a new company. And that's your Act 3, a 5-star resort called Salamander Middleburg in Virginia, and another you've opened in Washington. I decided to go into the hotel business. I didn't know anything about it, but I knew I wanted to do it. So what do? You bring in people that are smarter than you and have had the longevity of being in a business that they know how to help build. We now have 7 hotels, and I'll tell you, buying the hotel in Washington, D.C., the Mandarin, now a Salamander-branded hotel, set that city on fire in a great way. What would you say to people 50-plus who haven't yet found their paths? As my mother always said, you need to just sit down, be quiet, and think about what your next steps are going to be. Don't rush into anything. I think people who are trying to find themselves should make a list of what they've accomplished, what they want to accomplish, and the roadblocks in their life. I don't think they should look at their lives as failures, but just ask those hard questions. After all that you've been through, how are you taking care of your mental health? There are still days when I struggle with it. After my divorce, I went through a lot of therapy. And even writing this book, it was therapeutic for me. But I realized I am still not really over the trauma that I went through. You are remarried now to the judge who presided over your divorce. That's a happy and unusual ending. He told me, you're carrying a lot of baggage right now, but I'll help you work through it. That impressed me. He knew more about what was going on in my life than I even knew. And I said, you know what? I'll give it another try. And I just fell madly in love with him. I felt safe for the first time in my life. You started as a violinist and music teacher. How do you cultivate creativity now? While I was trying to figure out my third act, I really got into photography. I also design scarves, and now we sell them. As we are redesigning the hotel in D.C., I'm very involved with the design. That's what excites me, being able to continue to create. Has your business philosophy changed as you've gotten older? After finishing with BET, I was learning how to be a real leader. Leadership is really key in building a successful company. I have been able to continue to watch and learn. When I went into the hotel business, I needed help. To be a strong leader, I needed to bring in the best and the brightest to help me build the company. What advice would you give people about having a successful third act? Learn to take risks. Also, failure is okay. That's how you learn, no matter what age you are. I still fail at things every day, but I'm like, okay, let's try to go in a different direction. It's all right. This interview was by Leslie Quander Wooldridge. Now, from an article in AARP, the magazine, in How to Grow Your Home, let's look at Dad's Woodsy Refuge, an inexpensive cabin out back. Robert revels in both the quiet and the drop-ins from his family. Why? When Brent Borgilt and Juliet Crable, a writer, bought their property in 2015, Robert Borgilt, a retired Xerox repairman and Korean War era vet, moved into his motor home next to their 1,500 square foot house. 4 years in, he broke his hip. He clearly needed a safer place as he got older, so we built the cabin, Brent says. How? The 1970s outbuilding had connections for electricity and plumbing, but everything else got scrapped. The new Craftsman-style dwelling was designed with all the amenities of a larger home, just compressed, says Brent, a residential home designer. That includes a full-size fridge and stacked washer-dryer, vaulted ceilings, tons of windows, and plenty of lighting. Whoa! Dad is a hermit and values his privacy, so we had to find a way to give him a great deal of space and also get the construction done. But he really enjoyed the interaction with the people who helped us build it. The work took 2.5 years. Wow! This project brought Dad and me closer, Brent says. They spend time in the property's woodshop and sometimes eat together. will usually see each other 5 out of 7 days a week, and I think he appreciates the work and time we put into the cabin. Deer, foxes, and the occasional cougar can be seen from Robert's windows, and he enjoys tending to his bird feeders. The place is comfortable, and it provides for all my needs, he says, and I get my choice of so many views. The homeowners, Brent Borglet, 60, and his wife, Juliet Grable, 51. The new arrival was Brent's dad, Robert Borglet, 86. Home growth. They turned the now building into a 400-square-foot cabin. Approximate cost, Robert put in $70,000 then, says Brent. We did all the work except roof, foundation, sheetrock, and exterior paint. And I must say, it is a lovely woodland cabin with, as advertised, plenty of windows. One more, minimal changes, maximum family time. Why? In India, parents live with you until the last minute. And that's what I want. No nursing homes, says Chandler Verma, a stroke survivor who struggles with mobility. So daughter Prasanta Verma decided this year to create an accessible space on the ground floor of her own 3-bedroom home so Chandler could stay for months, not days. How? A bed, dresser, and chair replaced dining furniture. 2 doors were installed, and a walk-in shower was added to the nearby laundry room. Whoa! The permitting process was very time-consuming, and they had to consider installing a chairlift and moving Chandler upstairs. Fortunately, the downstairs approval came through. Wow! 2 of Prasanta's siblings are replicating the idea, creating long-stay spaces in their homes in Georgia and Maryland. The homeowners are Plazanta Verma, 55, and her husband, Vivek Amulu, 59. The new arrival is Prasanta's mother, Chandler Verma, 81, on extended visits from her home in Georgia. Home growth, reimagining a dining room, adjoining laundry area, and powder room as mom's summer-long guest suite. Approximate cost, $20,000. A quote from Paul Simon, I can write and sing. I'll make records, even if it's just for myself. You get things done by getting them done. I never run out of gas. That was by former news anchor Tim Brokaw, who is 83. Well, folks, we've run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.